بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بلدة طيبة ورب غفور. When we look at our condition, at the halat around us, then we must conclude بلدة طيبة ورب غفور. Such a pleasant land, such enjoyments, such comforts, such luxuries, and to top it all is a Rabb that is most forgiving. All our shortcomings, our limitations, our weaknesses, we have to come to this conclusion, بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبٌّ غَفُورٌ. Everything, you can't complain, there isn't a thing that you can complain about. Yes, we can complain about not doing the shukr as we're supposed to be doing. Otherwise, everything is too pleasant. Just by the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ummah has been blessed in different ways. So many ways it's been blessed. The blessing of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi and Munkar, the level that this ummah has taken it to, no ummah has taken it to this level. Even in this belated zamana, then this Amr bil Ma'ruf, enjoining the good and stopping the bad, the level that this ummah has taken it, no ummah has taken it. It is the deen of Allah Ta'ala, and He will see to it that it is preserved right till the end of time. In spite of all the opposition, all the negativity, but it is His deen, He will take care of it. So in Amr bil Ma'ruf, enjoining the good and stopping the bad, there will be two dimensions. One dimension is to preserve, and one dimension is to pass on. Right? If you don't preserve it, then what are you going to pass on? Right. And if you are just preserving it, then who's going to pass on? How is going to continue? So this whole operation of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar is going to have these two dimensions: preserve it, take care, good care of it, and thereafter also pass it on. Then the level that this ummah has taken it to, it's unprecedented. Look at it. A child is at the age of 4, right? So his mother, parents will send him to a creche, right? And in the creche, no matter what it is, but they will teach him kalimas, la ilaha illallah, basic adab. This is how you enter a home, make salam. This is how you will speak to your elders, your mother, your father. This is how you will speak to them. Then this is how you will eat. They'll teach them right from left, what you do with the right, what you do with the left. Then gradually they will teach them about the du'as that are recited at the respected times. Right? So all these things, at the elementary levels, these are taught. A child 4 years of age, 5 years of age, he's taught these things. Then when he comes to about 6, 7, then in a foreign madrasa, then he learns to recite the Quran Sharif. So an average Muslim child goes through the whole process, he can at least recite the Quran Sharif. There was a Jamaat that returned from Canada. So they were giving a Kalguzari. So in the Kalguzari they explained, there was a jalsa, and because they were in the area, they were also invited to the jalsa. They attended, and at the end of the jalsa, they were told that there was a Jewish couple that was also invited to come to attend to the jalsa, because perhaps they were in the neighborhood. So as a gesture of kindness and courtesy, they were also invited. But after that, both the couple, they cried, and they cried profusely, and they declared the Shahadat. So this host is wondering now that he cried so much, and then he accepted Islam. What was the catalyst? What was the reason? Because we, Allah forgive us, we look at these people negatively, right? Minhum salihuna, wa minhum duna dhalik. Laysu sawa. All of them cannot be painted with the same brush. There'll be the element of good. They are looking for the good. So we can't now talk of a Jew and just run him down. Laysu sawa. Minhum salihun, wa minhum duna dhalik. It will be those that are right and those that are off. Why should we have a negative picture towards them? Like we are the servants of Allah Ta'ala, they are the servants of Allah Ta'ala. We need the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, they also need the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Someone will talk to us nicely, we also feel motivated and driven. They also, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala wills, someone speaks to them correctly, then they will also be driven, motivated. So anyway, the host got a little bit curious, okay, what motivated you? Spontaneously, you just accepted Islam. So he says that, you see, I'm a Jew by birth, right? Generations, we're coming right from the time of Musa and Harun al-Islam, everything is preserved and documented. Right? Now, there were two or three things that we found here. One thing that really fascinated us was this child is an Indian child. He is not an Arabic child. He doesn't know about the Arabic language. He doesn't understand one word of the Arabic language. But he memorized the whole Quran Sharif in the Arabic language, not his own language. And then, I am a Hebrew, so a Hebrew knows a little bit of Arabic. So I could also see that he was reciting and reciting correctly. The tajweed, recitation, pronunciation was all right. I could see that as well. And then the most fascinating thing was that this being a foreign language, but he's memorized it from cover to cover. 6,600 and some odd verses, this child has memorized it from cover to cover. Whereas we now, he's making a comparison, you see. When you do a comparative study, then you see things worth, right? If there is no thing like night, you don't know the value of day. If there's no such a thing like sickness, you don't know the value of good health. If there's no such a thing like poverty, you don't understand and appreciate wealth. So when you do the comparison, you begin to understand things in perspective. So now I'm comparing Judaism with Islam. We are a religion coming from Musa al-Islam. So from then till now, it's approximately 4,000 to 5,000 years. Right? Approximately, right? But there isn't a single Jew who's memorized the Torah from cover to cover. Not a single person. Although we are a divine religion. We are a divine religion, blessed religion, everything is recorded. But there's not a single Jew who can say that he's memorized the Torah from cover to cover. Let alone the Torah from cover to cover. Even our rabbis, ask one of them to recite an entire chapter, like we say surah. He can't recite one entire chapter of the Torah. Here he's memorized the Quran, recitation is right, pronunciation is right. If you just block the child off, you can't make out whether he's a child of an Arab or a child of an Indian. You can't even make out. So this has to be the word of Allah Ta'ala. For it to be memorized, preserved, and secured in this manner, it couldn't be the book of man. It had to be the book of Allah Ta'ala. So you see this Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, enjoining, preserving the good and passing it on. And how this Ummah has applied that. The word of Rasulullah himself, see his word is such that it has an appeal to that Arab or to that Bedouin and villager that knows nothing more than the camel and the goat. But it has an appeal to him, and it has an equal appeal to the most educated, sophisticated person of the time. A doctor, philosopher, scientist of the time, like it has an appeal to this person here, it appeals to that person. This has to be the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if you're talking to a villager, then it will be a different language altogether. And you're talking to a philosopher, it would have been a different language altogether. But it's impacting on him, on the educated, like it's impacting on the villager. This must be a dynamic thing. It must be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For it to have this type of a dynamism, this comprehensive approach, how can it be? Then again, you look at the favor of Allah ta'ala, right? How Allah ta'ala has preserved this. So one is at the primary level. Primary level, maktab, etc. 99% of Muslims would have sent their children to a maktab to get the formal, basic, formative years of studies to get it right. In the formative years, they get the kalimas right, the aqaid and beliefs right, they get the basic masail right, the do's and the don'ts, they get it right. Some basic etiquettes they would teach them. Some basic Islamic seerat and history they would teach them. So a person knows, all right, this is right, this is right, wrong, what I need to do, what I need to avoid. Right. Now then, there is a child that wants to go one step ahead. So there is a provision for him as well. In every town you'll have his class carrying on. Whether it is private, whether it is officially done, but there is a HIFS class that is carrying on in every town approximately is carrying on. Then it doesn't end there. Then someone wants to go and further his studies, and he has got an opportunity to learn kitabs. So here, at the formative level, then at the secondary level, you're doing HIFS. Tertiary level, you want to do kitabs, you're doing that as well. And after all said and done, someone has to even advance it even more. So he's got a specialist. He's got a specialist course. You want to learn qiraat and specialize in that. Or what is it? You want to learn fiqh and you want to specialize in that. So there is room for you as well. You want to specialize in hadith, then there's a room for you as well. So for any person and every person, from the lowest level to the highest level, and there is room for you in amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar, right? Then after everything is said and done, then what about the man of the street? What about him? The public, the man of the street, what about him? Then there is a provision for him also, for him to look after his deen, secure his deen, and cooperate in some way in the works of deen. Tabligh jamaat or khanqa. Right? The man that can't attend the maktab, obviously he's not of that age, so he can't attend the maktab. He can't specialize because he's a little bit of age now and he's occupied, he can't do a specialist course. But now I need to get my deen right. I need to get my akhirat right. I need to get my affairs right. So then you connect him to the jamaat, you connect him to the khanqa. At least he's in the right footing, understanding the required amount of deen at his age that is required for him to understand, and is required for him to be able to continue, not only to understand, but to drive him as well. He needs something to drive him, something to motivate him. Now, can you find this comprehensive program in any religion? From the time the child is 4 years of age until the grave, there is a program for him. From the age of 4 right until he's 84 and he's about to leave, there is a program for him in place. Do this, follow this, there is the opportunity. But if you yourself don't take advantage over the opportunity, then you don't blame Islam. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Allah Pak says that my mercy covers everything. Right? It covers everything. So Shaitan says, well, I am also Shaykh, so I must also be marfoom. So we say, yes, there is space for you in the Raham and the Karam of Allah Ta'ala. But you get in. I say, this masjid is spacious enough to take in 400 people, right? It's spacious enough. It's got an aircon, it's spacious enough, it's comfortable. But now you're not getting in, and you say, but no, the masjid doesn't have a provision for me. What will you say? It's your fault. The masjid that offered you, there's enough space here, there's room for you, there's accommodation for you. But you yourself, you are stubborn, you are hard in your ways, and you wish to remain outside, will you say that the masjid is constrained, is constricted, is closing its door for me? It's not closing its door for you. You are closing your doors to access the masjid. So it's not a fault of the masjid, it's your own weakness. Why didn't you, the doors are open? Both sides, in fact, all three sides doors are open. When they are open, and all you needed is to step in. We don't want to force you. And you may say that we have forced you. You've been given free will and the choice of your kind. Whatever you want to choose, you can choose. You want to choose right, you can choose. You want to choose wrong, you can choose. So we didn't force you. But we left the gates and the doors open for the mercy. When Allah Pak has left it open, you get in, it's to your fortune. You leave it out, it's to your peril. So this Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, distinguished quality of this Ummah. Distinguished. No Ummah has got it at this level. And there must be a reason why Allah Pak says that you, the best of Ummah, evolved for the goodness of mankind, enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. So that's an outstanding feature in your lives. So I was speaking to the final year boys today, you know. So I told him, see, this preservation of deen, right? So the hadith says, La hijrata ba'd al-fath. After the conquest of Makkah, there is no longer the obligation of migration. It was obligatory to migrate to Madinah Munawwara. But now Makkah Mukarrama is conquered, it is in the hands of Islam and Muslims. So there isn't the need now for you to leave Makkah Mukarrama and move on to Madinah Munawwara. But then the hadith continues, it says, وَلَكِنْ جِهَادُ وَنِيَّةٌ. But what continues is jihad and niyat, right? Now sometimes, when we talk about jihad, we talk about it in a very constricted perspective, constricted sense. We don't broaden our horizon, right? Now, when we look at jihad, then it's an effort, right? For the preservation and the propagation, for the preservation and the propagation of the truth, right? For the preservation and the propagation of the truth of Islam and the Muslims. Now, this preservation and propagation of Islam will be different from time to time, from place to place, from person to person, right? From area to area. Right? In the day of Muhammad Ilyas rahmatullah alayh, then he had made an open announcement that the greatest jihad on this day, or at this day, is to create a talab, right? To create a desire in the heart of the person who's got no desire for deen. He's got no desire for deen, but now create the talab in his heart, that's the greatest jihad. So jihad cannot be constricted to one particular type of work. Now we'll look around at what is needed at this time for the Muslims, for Islam, what type of work is required. We propagate the work, we preserve the work, we encourage the work, we support the work. Whichever way, to the extent that you can do it. People's taqazas, their needs may be different, right? Now, one work of deen is a madrasa, one work of deen is a khanqa, one work of deen is tabligh, right? One work of deen is jihad, fighting in the cause of Allah Ta'ala. Now, you look at it, where do you fit? How can you do it, right? What can you do just for the sake of the preservation and the propagation of deen? So for example, you saw some students learning deen, you are encouraging them, you are supporting them, right? Or you saw someone in Jamaat, you are encouraging them, supporting them at your area, in your locality. So you joined them for a day, 2 days, you encouraged them, you brought them some meal. But you participated at some level, you cooperated in some deeni activity. So one is jihadun, one is niyatun. So this effort for deen would be wajib, as well as the niyat. In other words, when there is a need to do an effort for deen, then I'm available. So to make the niyat also is wajib, like to strive for deen is wajib, then to make a niyat, that according to the type of need that is required by Islam and the Muslim, I will make myself available according to how much I can manage. Now we shy away from every work and any work, we don't want to participate, but that person that is participating and he's encouraging, and we go and condemn the person, run him down, smash him down, نہ خود کرتے ہیں نہ کسی کو کرنے دیتے ہیں. جیسے کمیونل رائٹ, سو ون پارٹی از فائٹنگ ود ادر پارٹی ہیونگ اٹ آؤٹ. End of the day, there's several bodies all strewn all over. So, one person on this side here, his one leg is amputated, he's incapacitated, he can't move. When he can't move now, it's already about a third time, and he's thinking there's a lot of bodies all here, and I must be with the bodies all myself here, hey, it's going to be a difficult one. So now, what must I do? So he, at the distance he saw, on Lalaji. Lalaji is people that operate with money, too much of money. They get obsessed. So he saw the Lalaji at a distance and he says, Lalaji, Lalaji. Oh, the Lalaji getting afraid now. Ye murda baat kar raha hai. The dead is talking here. So he says, oh, Lalaji, main tumse baat kar raha hu. Mere yahan kuch sone ke sikke hai. I got some gold coins here. Now, when man spoke about gold, his mouth began to water, because this is what he deals with. Gold, money, he wants to see these things, and his dead heart also just becomes alive. He just revives the heart. He hears about gold, all that. So I got it here, all, you know, it's my pouch, I got it here, and I, you know, I'm about to leave. So the Lalaji comes close. As he comes in close proximity, he takes out his sword and he strikes the leg of that Lalaji, incapacitated him now. I can't move. He said, why, but you called me for that gold. Why do you incapacitate me? So he says, jo raat aa rahi, it was coming night, right? And as about night falling now, I can't spend the night all by myself. I need some company till the morning, you see. So I thought now, the only way I can get you is incapacitate you, so you'll be stuck here. I'll be stuck, you'll be stuck. And we can talk and spend the night at least. So the Lalaji says, bhai, na khud karte hai, na kisi ko karne dete hai. You don't do anything, and you the one that is doing something, you don't want to cooperate with him. So you all either do the work or cooperate with the person. If the person is making a mistake, correct him. Befriend him, talk to him nicely, and see now, alright, how can I correct him? How can I do something for him? One is just to smash the person down. There was a phone from someone, I won't mention the name now. So someone is complaining, or this person went out in Jamaat and all that. He's not looking after the family and all that. Right? So I could have made a big story about it, people are going out in Jamaat, but they're not worried about the families. I said, no, that's not the right way. Why is not the right way? Because in any group and organization, you may have one, two wrong elements, right? Right. Now, because of that one wrong element, you can't brush and paint everybody with the same brush. Maybe just one person. 99% is right. Now, that you'll have in the madrasa, you'll have in the khanka, you'll have in every work, that if there is so much of good taking place, then proportionately, you must have some loss. You've got a big wholesale business or supermarket or whatever, so you're making some profits proportionate to your business, you must expect some type of a loss. If it was a 4x4, then you must expect 4 rands a loss every day. 40x40, then 40 rands. And 400,000, then 4,000 every day, you must expect loss. You must expect it. So, Allah Pak put in my mind, I said, alright. This is not, you don't hear this problem, right? Years you spend, but you don't hear this type of a problem. Now, one isolated case, if it comes around, you don't brush the Jamaat with this. But yes, you don't ignore the thing as well. One is to brush the whole Jamaat with this. And number two is just to totally ignore it. That's also wrong. This is one extreme, this is the other extreme. Now then what's the right line of action? I said, alright, let me get one, two of the important Zimmedar brothers, speak to them, all this is a problem, and I'll sort it out. Alhamdulillah, within few days, and they got around on which is the area, who's the Zimmedar, and see how they can sort it out. But how beautifully and how amicably. A problem of deen must be treated like how it's your own personal domestic problem. Right? When it's your domestic problem, it's a problem of your daughter, for example. Right? Something happened. You wanted it to be broadcast. No. Yes, you want to correct it, but amicably, respectfully, without losing the respect. So any work of deen, if it needs to be corrected, must be corrected, but amicably, respectfully, in a nice, pleasant manner, in the manner that you would like people to speak to you. So now, this is one of the distinguished quality of this ummah, that they've got Amar bil Ma'ruf, enjoining the good and stopping the bad. Then you get this at different levels. Every person can do this much at least, that he encourages his household, the neighbors, the friends, people that easily come under his influence, then he talks to them. Many a times you're coming to the masjid, you saw the person now, and he's removing his right shoe first. Whereas you're supposed to remove your left shoe first. Or many times you find even more cases, people coming to the masjid, they're coming with the left foot. Or they're leaving out with the right foot, right? Now, small things, but you can correct the person, you know the person. If you can talk to him about other things, take your medicine, take your precaution, take all these things here, then all the more you can talk to them about this thing as well. If that is important, then this is obviously more important. But the person is coming under your influence, you know him, he knows you, he listens to you, and correct him. You saw him coming wrong, or getting out of the masjid wrong, but you spoke to him nicely, respectfully, courteously, inshallah he'll listen to you. One brother explained to me, I was touching on the same topic. So he says that, I was in one masjid, and I saw a person put on a jubbah, and as he left the jubbah back in its place, he was wearing a boxer shorts. So his half the knee was open, right? So I went and explained to him that this is sadar, this is the amount of body that must be kept concealed all the time. The style, you can't keep it open, right? So the man cried. He said, I've been performing namaz in this place here for so many years. Nobody had the heart to come and correct me. I was in sin for so many years. Alhamdulillah, you have taken the trouble to come and correct me. Inshallah, I'll keep to this. And Mulana, if you find any other wrong in me, do bring it to my attention. Now, many of people are appreciative. You know the person, you can talk to him, he's approachable. Or even if you take a try, and in the process, you get one shot also. So what's the big deal? You got one shot, so what's the big deal? Hey, you know, I can't talk now because they're hitting me. So, yesterday, I think it was on Thursday, one person phoned up, right? So he says, a dream now. So I said, yeah, I left all this dream business now, I don't do this thing. So now please, Mullah, a little bit of pareshan here. Just give us some guidance on this dream. So Mullah, I knew the person now. Sometimes when the Mullah is speaking, you feel a bit obligated. Although he can be your student, but you feel obliged to just turn him away, you know, to refuse him. So he says, you know, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's putting up a structure, first story, second story, third story, and he's having a lot of opposition, a lot of people are opposing him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is becoming angry. Well, it's a lengthy dream, but this was the essence of the dream. So he wants to know, now what's the meaning of the dream? So I said, see, there are those, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that are trying to bring things to the original sunnah, original way, style, shape of the sunnah, right? And there are those that are opposing it. You know? So those that are trying to bring things on the original sunnah, the shape of the sunnah, the way of the sunnah, the mansha of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they need to remain firm in their ways, right? And unfortunately, you're getting a group that is speaking out against them. So he's telling Mullah, but I suppose it was the same person. So he's saying, but Mullah, I'm getting a lot of flack. I'm trying to bring everything right, you know. Putting the serfs right, doing everything. But the amount of shouting, amount of abuse, amount of insult I'm getting, just for calling people to the masjid, getting insulted, you know, it's becoming too much. So I explained to him, but I know you're going through some difficulty, but it can't be like the difficulty that the Sahaba al-Kiram had gone through prior to the Hijrah. They also went through difficulty. Someone is persecuted, someone is dragged on the scorching sand, someone is killed, someone his child is miscarried. So all that difficulty, they're leaving all their properties, everything behind, moving on to Madinah, Munawwara, taking nothing along with them. All their properties, imagine they're living there from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. over 3,000 years, and they have to move. They have to move, not lock, stock and barrel. Just bear themselves to move to Medina Munawwara. No security, no assurance this side here. But because of the deen, they have to move. But that was all right, quite fine with them. If they could make that sacrifice, if you had to go through a little bit of difficulty for the preservation of the sunnah, I said, isn't it an honor? Ungli kata karke, shaheedo medam dakhil karke. But I just explained to him afterwards, a note of caution, right? And for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, the way things are going on, I told him, see, please, don't discuss this topic, no debate. If you are my friend, don't debate this thing here, don't discuss it, don't be in a gathering where this type of things are being discussed. Inshallah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, with His mercy and His karam, He takes us to Jannah. We make dua for that, right? As He takes us safely to Jannah. Once we reach Jannah, we can continue the discussion and debate there. So that's the right thing. Ab kaam karne ka waqt hai. When it is a time to work, we need to identify what work can I do. Everybody can do it. The poor can do, the average can do, the wealthy can do. But what can I do now for my preservation of my deen and for the deen of the people around? What can I do? And how can I encourage this? How can I support this? How can I endeavor? What can I do? The little I can, let me do that much. So if everybody thinks like that, I ask you, would there be any reason for us to fight? Any reason for us to go on the air? Any reason for us to do all these funny things that we are doing? A lot of funny things are happening now, but is there any reason? So we're saying, alright, now let's try and get this right, on the right footing, on the right line. Let's try and get it on the right course. That will be our concern, right? And as I say, for the debates and the talks, discussions, etc., we first make dua, Allah takes us to Jannah. But once we are there, then we can shout, hey, yeah, you did this, you didn't do this, and then we'll shout there. But now, for now, let us do the work. This discussion and fighting, all that, we'll postpone it for Jannah after that. Deen asan hai. Deen mushkil. It's not a difficult thing, it's an easy thing. Zara himmat se kaam lo. Have the courage, trust in Allah Ta'ala, and work. So I explain the same person. I explain, see, all we need to do is have a clean heart. The heart must be very good. As Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah Pak Sassam was sending him to Yemen, right? So he knew now, this is the last meeting. لَعَلَّكَ تَمُرُّ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ. Perhaps the next time you come around, you'll be passing by my grave, right? And he knew it's the last time. So he asked Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for some last and parting advice. So Rasulullah was told him the same thing about the heart. Keep the heart very clean. Your ikhlas, see that every work of yours is flavored very heavily. It's soaked in ikhlas. Telling my own words, it's soaked, it's drowning in ikhlas. Because the small work done with ikhlas means a lot to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Small work, little work, but it's full ikhlas. It means too much. Now, ikhlas, how great it is. When that ikhlas is there, then everything works. Today we're teaching the hadith, you know, that one person comes to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so he says, must I accept Islam first, or must I participate in the jihad first? So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to him, Aslim summa jahid. First you accept Islam, then you strive. And he fought until he was shaheed. And Rasulullah said, Amila kathiran kaleelan wa ujira kathiran. He did a very small piece of work, but he really scored. Because when I looked at that hadith, I said, this man must have been so sincere. You know, when you can see that jihad is on, you want to go in. But he said, no, by ikhlas, my devotion to Allah Ta'ala requires, I must first ask the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't do things spontaneous. I'll do a spontaneous thing and I'll regret for the rest of my life. Let me go there. The final authority is here. He's the final authority on this earth here. Let me go and refer to him. Now, what a great thing it is to refer our problems to an authority. Right? Who is great and who is not great? Allah Pak knows. But Allah Pak has kept certain levels. Right? So this is an authority in deen. Listen to him, inshallah. Your context is your context. Another context is a different context. So within your context, where you are living, your context, Right? Who is the authority? Listen to him and carry on. You have done what you're supposed to be doing. You're going on the right course. You feel that confidence within you. Inshallah, you're going wrong. Amila qaleelan wa ujira kathira. He did a very small work. No namaz he read. He just accepted Islam and he went straight. Became shaheed. Tawah is called. How great. So that will refer to all type of works. Someone is connected to the Jamaat. So they are seniors and responsible brothers in the Jamaat as well. So what are you going to work here? And then that individual needs to have this type of a mindset. Whatever they're going to tell me, I will do it. To the best of my ability, I will do it. If I have a problem, I will refer it to them. You ask me to do it in this manner, and I have this problem, what must I do? So, you got someone above you, it makes things so much easier, so much more simple, right? As though you shifted all the problem from your head onto that person. It was your problem now, and you had a mental turmoil. But you just referred to him, now you are free, you are at ease. Within you, you have a relaxation and the confidence that I've got someone senior. Like I'm a broken down car, right? And there's a tow truck. So I just connected to the tow truck. Wherever that thing is going to reach, I'm going to reach. That thing is blessings. So we are broken down. We are those elders, those responsible, those that are righteous, striving for years, 40 years, 50 years of it. So we just connected ourselves with them. Inshallah, with their blessings, we also reach inshallah. But isn't it an easy thing? So this is one blessing that this ummah has been blessed with. For this to come alive, all that is required, a little bit of, not a little, a good amount of humility, tawazu. So I have to ask him, I have to report to him, I have to speak to him, I have to humble myself. How this thing happened here? I went wrong here. I said this. I'm not supposed to be saying this. I wrote this. I'm not supposed to be writing like this. So you presented yourself. In that, there will be some humility going on. And if you want to bypass that person, you will go. And you will feel, no, I know the thing now. So what's the need to refer? What's the need to consult? Now that humility will go. When that humility will go, then your work will not have a life. See? Umarji Sahib Rahmatullahi had given a talk thing. Remember, the foundation was just being laid, right? So he says that the English had taken control of India, so unfortunately the masjid, they took it in their control. And then the masjid was then being auctioned. Right? And now it's a big Jama masjid and nobody can afford it. People are offering and they couldn't afford it. Eventually one person, a butcherman, Audrey Kasai, he comes up and he says, alright, what's the outstanding amount? And he pays the thing. So now, provided all these people who had offered, they also give the amounts. He offered 100,000, he offered 20,000. They said, Kasai, but you can yourself, you're so wealthy, you know, one check you can sign this thing off. No, no. I insist that everybody also must have their share in this thing. He says, why? He says, because when the masjid is going to be bought and again used as a masjid, then I will not be proud to say this is my masjid. I would say the whole community, they offered. He offered something, he offered, and I also offered. So I will be just one person in the whole rush. But if it is my work, then I say, no, it's my work. So I was the main sponsor of this masjid. Had it been for me, this thing would have been thriving, right? But now, Shaitan, I will stop his avenues to try and indoctrinate me and spoil my mind. I say, no, everybody spent. He spent, I spent, everybody spent. Women spent, men spent, everybody spent. Someone gave the jewelry, someone gave the ring. I have some money, I gave it. Alhamdulillah, today, this thing is open to all the public. And then Umar said, that line, I like that line. It says, Ikhlas Sadabaha. It says, Ikhlas, that ingredient of Ikhlas, pure for Allah Ta'ala, that gives eternity. You know, you want something to be eternal right till the day of Qiyamah. Just add that ingredient of Ikhlas. And the Ikhlas requires that you must have that quality of humility. Without it, can't be. You got this and it's going. It's going and it's going so well. Brother Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi, now sometimes it's elementary lessons you have to learn. Keep revising. We think, oh, I heard about this, I know about this, so what's the need to repeat this thing? Whereas this may be the basic ingredient that is short here. You don't have that ingredient. How are you going to move this whole thing? So no, I can move this car. But the basic ingredient is fill the air. Hey, but the air is the cheapest thing in the world. I need to do that. Yeah. You don't have that air. You can't move. Get it deflated entirely, completely. Can you move? It's such a cheap thing. But now without that air, you can't move the car. You can't do the distance. So ikhlas may be such a simple thing, but you don't have it to the right measure. You don't have it like how it's supposed to be having it. And then that is, it's got no movement. Well, the Shaykh Ramadan gives an incident. He says, one man heard about a woman having a goat that is giving milk and honey. So he became interested when he heard that that woman is a wali of Allah Ta'ala. So he got interested. I said, I don't normally talk to women, but now this woman is something different. So let me see now. What was her plan? How did she get this? So he went up and he says, I hear you got a goat like this, honey and milk coming out from the udders. So what is the udder story now? So he says, you see, it was Bakra'id time and this was the only thing that we had. So my husband and I, we decided we can't give this thing here. Because this is our livelihood, we've got nothing. A few days passed, and then we had a mihman coming in. And then the mihman is, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, fal yukrim dhaifa. That you believe in Allah Ta'ala at the last day, then honor your guest. You honor your guest, right? So he's a guest, I need to honor him. The only thing that we got is the goat, so we slaughtered that. We hadn't yet fed that mihman, that guest, when I saw another goat in the yard. And now I milk the thing, one is coming honey, one is coming milk. Now that last line of this man's story, that is the important, that is the very, very, very important, like that's a catalyst. He says, this goat is nourished with the cleanliness of the heart. As long as the heart is clean, this thing will provide what it's providing. To the extent of the cleanliness of the heart will be the production. See this, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّى. It's not a thing that we can say, you know, I went once and I cleansed myself, that's enough now. I can't say that. I need to clean all the time. You went to the toilet in the morning and you cleaned yourself, right? Then in the afternoon you went, do you need to clean yourself again? Do you ask that question? I must clean myself again now. Even evening again you must clean yourself. This toilet business is such a, you know, such a good lesson for someone that got a little bit of pride and arrogance. It's such a good lesson. This toilet lesson. So there was a wealthy person sitting here, came up to the office. So I just told him, you know, just to teach him a little bit of humility. I said, this is such a striking lesson from the wealthiest person walking the surface of the earth. Wealthiest, you know, you can't count his money so much, it's mind-boggling. To the poorest person that is walking on the street or living on the street, both have to wash their own backside. Can you say now he's absolved? He doesn't have to rub his... Can you say that? The man that is the wealthiest, and to the man that is poorest, sleeping on the street, he has to clean his own mess. That man is so wealthy, right? For so many millions and millions and billions. And that person has got nothing to see for the evening. But your mess, it has to come onto your hand. You can't say, I'm such a wealthy person now, and this thing here, I can't touch that thing. No, you'll have to touch it. So Allah in the process is teaching you the lesson of humility. By this is what you are filled up with, understand yourself. See the importance of the lesson of humility. The man goes very well. The man is humble. The girl that is humble, she is loved, she is respected, she is liked by one and all. And the moment this thing surfaces, you may seem to be good in your side, but then people begin to dislike you. They keep a distance. Why? The ingredient of tawazu, the ingredient of humility, that's come out. You look nice. You seem to be nice. Now, imagine now, a bride comes into the house, and she's showing attitude. She won't talk, pulled up face, staying inside the room. Not talking to the mother-in-law or whoever else, right? Nothing, absolutely. So she may have been Mrs. World, she must have been, Miss World, right? And that's why you married her. But now when she comes to Miss World and she comes into the house and she's showing attitude, I'm Miss World, everybody was coming, talk to me, I was sit like a queen here. But I ask you, will she be respected? Will she be loved? Will she be liked? Nobody will like her. So in her sight, she's Miss World. Right? But in the sight of the world, in the sight of the world, she is not even fit to be Miss Room. Not Miss World, not even the Miss Room. She'll be so disliked. Just this ingredient of humility. The first lesson the Quran is teaching us about Adam alayhi salam and Iblis and what happened. Man showed pride, arrogance, what happened to him. And then Adam alayhi salam showed humility, he hands up straight away, no hesitation, what happened. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِن رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. So great word Allah got for him. Teaching us and impressing us, impressing upon us this lesson of humility. When he brought it to his attention, immediately goes on to his knees. تَابَ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. Allah Pak accepted him. Allah Ta'ala turned to him with mercy, with acceptance, just for this ingredient of humility. So this is the first favor that this ummah has been blessed with. The second favor that this ummah has been blessed with, Rufi'an ummati al-khata'u wa nisyan wa stukrihu alayhi. That made a mistake, you forgot, Allah Ta'ala forgives you. It's a mistake now, some stupid thought passed the mind, whatever happened, right? Something passed the mind. So, hey man, it was in my namaz and this stupid thing had to come into my namaz. Right? So, Allah Pak says, all that is maafed. Everything is maafed, right? In your school days now, you had someone sitting behind you on your side. Now, in your namaz, thought is coming. Now, imagine you're 60 years of age, 70 years of age, and the Jamila, hey, but she was one thing. She must be dead and gone, but the thought will she still haunt you. See the school and education school, what it does. You married, you're a grandfather, but that stupid thoughts will keep haunting you. Right? See? So Allah Pak says that thought came without your choice, it just came. So Allah Pak says, I made maaf for you, don't worry. Don't you stress yourself about it, it came without your choice. Similarly now, you are driving or you're walking on the street, or you saw some girl, but you immediately you understood the law of Allah Ta'ala, and you closed your eyes, or you lowered your eyes, or you had to open your eyes, but you didn't take any type of sensual pleasure. So that first glance that you looked, Allah Pak says, everything is wiped out, everything is marked. But that means, you don't say that first glance is 1 minute, one glance. No, that doesn't mean. It's not the meaning of that. You think, no, the first glance means, as long as I look for the first time, it's marked. That accidental glance. What is marked is the accidental glass. Just one side, you close your eyes straight away, you lowered. Or if you had to keep your eyes open for some reason, then without taking any sensual pleasure. So Allah Pak says, everything is marked. See this. Everything. Clean sheet. Your sheet is absolutely clean. Right. Rasul Pasam's one sifat, right? Rasulihin Nabiyil Ummi. Rasul Pasam is the unlettered Nabi, right? And this being an unlettered Nabi is an additional honor to the integrity and the personality of Rasul Pasam. You may ask how? At least it needs a little bit of an explanation how it becomes an additional honor to the integrity and the respect and the maqam of Rasul Pasam that he's an unlettered Nabi. You see, people are schooled, right? They're schooled or they're tutored, right? And according to the school and the tutoring that they go through, their thinking is shaped accordingly. Right? You went to a school, you went to some tutorship, whatever it was, but you are trained to think in a certain line. Right? Then you will do things, but you will do it in the way that your mind was designed under the tutorship or the school that you had attended. Right? Now, Hazrat Rasul Pak was not schooled, he was not tutored. His mind was like a clean, pure slate. Unadulterated, not influenced by anything. No, nothing had influenced his mind. Absolutely no influence. So it is just the pure, absolute pure word of Allah. unadulterated, not influenced by any type of circumstance, any type of external forces, nothing had influenced it. It was absolute pure word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that had settled into his heart. So can you imagine now the extent of the purity of his words, the extent of the purity of the Quran Sharif, not influenced by anything, absolute pure, clean. So isn't it an honor and a respect to the integrity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The second favor Allah Ta'ala blessed this ummah with is you stumbled, you did something wrong, right? And after doing that wrong, came to your senses, went onto your knees, and you asked Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. So Allah Ta'ala says, "Attaibu min adham kaman la dhambal." Now all your gunas are maaf. You made maaf. You asked for repentance. You begged for repentance. I wiped you out clean. And you must have yaqeen. Now speaking to the boys today, finally a boys. So I said, see, where this promise has come that you do this and your reward is multiplied 70 times. This walk. You come on foot, you made wuzu. So every step you're being elevated, getting a reward, right? Coming into the first surf, the malaika are making special dua for you. So that is provided in the ladina amanu wa amilu salihah. Iman and righteousness. Now, what this requires, what does it mean? That this promises Rasulullah is showing, right? That you do this and your reward is multiplied. You must have iman on that. What? That your reward is multiplied 70 times. Then that iman has to grow, is to strengthen. Aur isko jamane se jamta hai. This iman, as you will root it, will it be grounded? You can't just say, I know about it, finish. No. You have to root that thing. Hey, I'll get this sawab. This is the promise of Rasulullah. I must root it in my heart that I will do this and this will be the reward that I will get. Allah will bless me like this. You have to think about it. You heard a bayan, right, about being kind to your parents or to the neighbors, etc. That woman, she used to prepare some type of a cheese and pass it on to the neighborhood and she got jannat. So now that, you have to have iman in that. And that iman has to be rooted. She got it. Allah will make it happen. I must have that yaqeen. I must have that iman. Then will I be eligible to the sawab. So this is not just something that you listen and you forgot it. No. It's little deeds, but have that iman, have that conviction that I will do it and my Allah Ta'ala will definitely see me favorably. Will definitely see me right. That iman must be there. You hear the kitab reading of Fazail al-Sadaqat, Fazail al-Amal. One virtue that is counted there. And you have to sit down and this is the virtue that has been explained about this deed here. I need to understand it, accept it first, and rooting my heart and ground, keep grounding it, keep grinding it. If I ground the thing, then it will be reality. Now presently the money becomes real. Because we keep listening to it, we keep talking about it, so that becomes a reality. We keep listening and we keep talking about it. When you keep talking about it, so that becomes a reality. Now, when you keep talking about this sawab and this virtue, what happens? Then the akhirat, the rewards of the akhirat, that becomes a reality. This is just a passing phase. This is a passing phase. That becomes a reality. Absolutely. No, this is real. Allah Pak mentioned it. Rasulullah Pak has spoken about it. So that becomes a reality. If there's a loss in this area, we feel hurt. If there's a loss in the world, one of those things came and went, I still got a roof, I'm still eating, carry on, right? So you're not going to get affected. But in the matters of the akhirat, you're going to get affected. Hey, I missed out my tahajjud. I missed out my fajr namaz with jamaat. I missed out one rakat. I missed out my takbir ula. You'll feel so affected. Like how if you met up in a motor car accident and it was 100,000, 200,000 damage that you caused, the whole house will come onto you. Why you're not careful? You know, 200,000, you know, money doesn't go on the trees. You know, you must be very careful about your driving. You can't phone and drive. Make sure you don't do it again. This is a waste of Allah Pak's ni'mat. But the child missed out his takbira ula. Do we come so strong against him? Hey, beta, don't do that again. Don't do that again. See now, see the contrast. Here, when Allah Pak's thing, we take it lightly. When our personal wealth is involved, the child took on chalk. We just painted that thing. It looks so nice. He took on chalk and started scribbling on it. He's saving for a bad desert. So the child did this. Won't you get disappointed? You get so disappointed. But the same child didn't read his namaz, right? or use some type of wrong language, do you show the same level of disappointment? So this iman. That Allah Pak will, I must ask sincerely, beg Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and Allah Pak will definitely forgive. And not only forgive, but I become the friend of Allah Ta'ala. So I need to do this tawbah and istighfar with that conviction that Allah Pak will wipe me, clean me, and He'll make me His friend. So what a great thing. So before I can sleep now, if I made a mistake, if I did something wrong, intensely, unintentionally, I must cry, even if I'm sleeping, if I'm lying down, but I'm sincere about it, I'm asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, and then sleeping off. Then if I don't get up, I'm also alright. If I get up, then I'm alright. But I'm pleading to Allah Ta'ala, I've done something, I don't want to justify, I don't want the wrong to appear like right. I'm coming out open hands, I'm showing I made a mistake. Some things I know, some things I don't know. But I'm really desperate for your forgiveness. But now you sleep in that manner, your heart is clean, your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is restored. What a beautiful way. You hear Mu'ayy Ismail passed away, right? So his family, now he spoke, the woman will speak. But now, what a beautiful way. I think his family was a little bit asthmatic, so she needed some dawa. So he prepared the dawa and offered it to her. Right. So that was now the domestic front. Ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. He looked at her favorably, nicely. Then there's a jamaat in the area, so obviously they would like something. So he said, no, let me put some lychees in my trunk. Majure can't be the only person that's calling now. Right? So let me also put some lychees in my trunk. Other time I'll meet them after namaz. I'll offer that to them. So on the domestic front he did something. On the jamaat front he did something. Now he comes into the namaz. And then in the second rakat, in the first sajda, and khuda ka pyara ho gaya. Honorable, isn't it? What happens is akhir Allah knows. But what we are taught is, kama tamutuna tahyuna. Like you die, will you be risen? And then if you look at it from the hadith perspective, right? Aqrabu ma yakun al-abd wa huwa sajid. The closest that you can be to Allah Ta'ala is when you are prostrating to Allah Ta'ala. Closest. When I mentioned this, one friend is telling me, he was bodily and physically closest to Allah Ta'ala because he was in sajda. But his car was also closest to the house of Allah Ta'ala because that was closest to the madrasa gate, masjid gate. So his car was closest, he's physically closest, and he's really closest to Allah Ta'ala. But you see, there's so much of bashar. Why must we talk about negative things, fighting, listen to radio, WhatsApp, all this? Why must we? This is, in my understanding, it's self-inflicted. A lot of this problem is self-inflicted. Hearing, listening. And many times I have to catch the brunt of it. From the morning to the evening, this one here. Now, as a consideration, I can't tell them. But the story is repeated. They carry on talking the same story over and over and again. If I talk of good stories, something happened here, you got a child, there's a nikah there. They say, you must offer the dawat, the imam and the muazzin, when you got a child, not when there is a death in the family. The reason is obvious, because if you're going to offer the dawat when there's a death in the family, he'll ask dua, then more people must die. So more dawat you'll get. But if you're making dua when there's a child born, or there's a marriage, then what happened? There'll be more marriages, more children born. So you offer them dawat, but there is an aqiqah you offered him, right? The nikah, walima you offered him. So he'll make, the family must go wealthier, there must be more nikahs, proper nikahs, and proper children born. So he'll make more dua for you. Can't we think this positive? Why must we think all negative, stupid things, and crowd our minds with fear, panic, all the time? Why must we do this? Abu Allah Ta'ala said, بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبٌ غَفُورٌ. It's such a pleasant place we are living in, right? And our Allah Ta'ala is so merciful and forgiving. Why can't we take advantage of that? Just before sleeping, we've got all our accounts clear. Right? Everything is clear. Our accounts are clear. Our records with Allah Ta'ala, relationship is clear. If we hurt the wife physically or verbally, we made maaf for her. Everything is clear. And now we are clear with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. What a good way to end the day. So that's the third favor Allah Ta'ala has blessed his ummah with, right? That you made a mistake, you come out clear, don't cover up for your faults, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, be humble enough admit your mistake. Admit your mistake. And Allah is so Ghafoor Rahim. He likes you asking for forgiveness. That's the third favor that Allah has bestowed this ummah. The fourth favor that Allah has bestowed this ummah is, if you are struck with a calamity, right? And you remain sabir. Sabir here means that you remain still firm on deen. You are thinking about Allah Ta'ala, your commitment to deen remains the same. Understand that it's come from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak will, I feel hurt, alright, it's a tragedy, someone passed away, whatever else. Mula Aku's father now. So I heard the story before, when it happened really, I heard it then. Then now it was a repetition again, right? But now, he's still fit and strong, but he got 50 to 60 packages of leeches from Mawlana, right? And he went himself, the old man, over 70, he went himself, and he passed it on to everybody that he knew, right? Maybe there was some patch with someone, whatever else, right? But he went and patched up everything. If there was a score or something, they made maaf, gave them that leeches, everything cleared up. Now, in a few days, then he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he patched it up. See, this is called humility, you patch it up. And then Allah, his one grandson is asking me, but is this this is the epidemic that the Quran Sharif or the Hadith speaks about? I said yes. He said what? How? So finally, assured his grandson is asking me. So I said, and you understood what the meaning of taun? Taun is Arabic translation explanation, al wabaul am. It's a general calamity or an epidemic that catches everybody. So this comes under ta'un, right? And then in Bukhari Sharif, the same thing comes in Bukhari Sharif. At-ta'unu shahadatun likulli muslimin. Just look at the words. This ta'un is a shahadat. You become a shaheed. And this blessing is for every believer. It's not only for a muttaqi and a wali. No. Likulli muslimin, every Muslim. Now we are broken down, right? We can't say we are good people. We are broken down. But can there be any doubt in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he's got a Jummah, and number two, to crown it over, he's got a Shahadat. He's got martyrdom and a Jummah. Can you ask for something better than that? But now, look at the life now, a clean life. Once I told Mawlana, see, I don't think, there's a reason why people like your father. My personal observation, I saw a person, I have an observation, right? My perception. I think two things. He's got a very clean heart. Number two, his company is more the poor. The Guru will say, yeah, definitely. He feels more easy with the poor. So, this is a sign of a very good person. Alright? Everybody has some weakness or the other. But these two things are very, very, very outstanding. Now, can't we talk about these positive things? We must talk about that nonsense and this sickness and that virus and touch this person. Hey, touch him now. Electric shock will get him. The way he made it, like, you must get a shock, electric shock. Why must we talk negative? Don't talk negative. Talk about the positive thing. When Rabbun Ghafoor, Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness is so embracing, talk about that. Anticipate that. And when you anticipate that, Ana inda zanni abdi bi, will have that regards for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will look at you favorably. You had that hopes in Allah ta'ala. He will look at you, how you thought about him. See, that's the fourth favor for this ummah. So, that if you are patient, right? And I said, patient means stability, firmness. Don't waver. Don't listen to every word. One, two people that you know properly, listen to that. Remain firm. Muhtasiban, have the hope in Allah ta'ala. And say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah ta'ala. Sooner or later, all of us have to go the same line. And ma kana li nafsin an tamuta illa bi idhnillahi kitabun mu'ajjala. The time, the date, and the place is stipulated. Nobody can alter that. So it happened. Now you can't say, no, the doctor was like that, and he was like this, and therefore this thing happened. You can't say all these things. That's stupidity. Ma kana li nafsin an tamuta illa bi idhnillah. You will die at the stipulated time, as Allah Ta'ala has ordained, the place and the time, everything is all ordained, finished. You will take brief precautionary measures. A little bit. Don't now go to the extremes in taking precautionary measures. Just a little bit brief measures is enough. When you go to the extreme, then you bring problems to yourself. Right? There's so many cases that come now. See, I just want to show you one example just for you to understand when you're taking this type of extraordinary and extreme steps, what happens? Now, I won't mention the specialist's name, right? Specialist is treating the patient, and the patient died. They went and bust up this patient until he had to land up in a ICU. But a mother is grasping, you know, you've got the symptoms, she's grasping her breath. Children are there, they know about how to administer all that, right? But say, no, wait for someone that is positive, he must treat my mother. You see, it becomes so hard. So this is when you take an extreme stand. Say, moderate, alright, a little bit of precaution, but what I need to do for this moment, let me do it. Let me not be deprived of this opportunity, this sawab opportunity. Let me not be deprived. Let me think positive. These things are in the control of Allah Ta'ala. When He wants it will happen, it doesn't work, nobody can make it happen. Kalas, another story. Let me carry on. Let me be positive and let me continue. See. So we can think positive, we can behave positive, we can be happy in our hearts, but no, we won't do that. So that's the fourth favor that Allah has blessed this ummah. That if you want to be like this, then the reward Allah will give you, patience, stability and hope in Allah, three favors He gives you. One is salawatum mir Rabbi, special favor, a special mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Not just an ordinary blessing, a special mercy, a special blessing. Rahmah, and a mercy, general mercy, and one is special mercy. Right? Like I say, you're going to a plane now in the special class, not just the business class, the double special class, you know, where you got a cabin for yourself. Nowadays, in the Dubai flights, you got a special flight. So you got a special, double special flight. Salawatum mir Rabbi wa rahmah. And the third is that Allah Pak will give you that guidance that will lead you to Jannah. That type of guidance, that type of motivation and drive. Stable, firm, hoping in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Just inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And see how you're being blessed. Like I say, the time is stipulated, you're not going to change it. But isn't it a blessing that you're going, and Allah Pak is longing to meet you, and you are longing to meet Him. He's happy, and you're happy. Allah Ta'ala could have made you live long, but die with disgrace. Would you like that? You live long, right? You saved yourself, but you die with, you die with honor and respect. Then Allah Pak likes this ummah so much. I showed you four favors, right? The fifth favor is this, that any person does any type of kind work of kindness, charitable work, whatever, kindness, right? Better is do it discreetly, don't make an advertisement, because this is your own akhirat. You're paying for your own. You're not going to help someone else, you're going to help yourself, right? So do it discreetly, quietly, you know it, Allah Pak knows it. But Allah Pak says, as a favor to this ummah, I will give you much more in return in this world, apart from what I'll give you in the hereafter. I'll give you much more returns in this life. Can you find a Rabb? With this vastness of mercy, can you find? And the last favor is this, that every dua of this ummah is accepted. Every dua that you make is accepted. And you got this time, someone is under some stress, duress, struck with calamity. The right thing is stand up, get before Allah Ta'ala, make dua to him. Right? And Allah Pak is promising, Ud'uni astajib lakum, I'll answer your duas. Either you get the same thing, or Allah Ta'ala post it in the hereafter. You get a reward for it. Right? A child that is 11 years of age, he asked his father for a gun, right? Father said, no, I can't give it to you. Then when he's about 25, he looks into his diary, you know. Hey, you know, I was 11, I cried to my father, he'll never give me that gun. But I'm looking at all my diaries and my records after that. But at the same date, the day that I asked for that firearm, my father put $10 million in my account. Hey, man. I could have begged the boy, you could have put 20 million. Wouldn't you have said that? So this 20 million is no comparison to the sawab that you will get there. So it seems like you didn't get the reward. But Allah gave something much more in return. Allah Baktofi.